Good to be in church this morning. Missed you guys last week. Was a nice place we were, but church is not the same elsewhere as it is here. I love being here with all of you and just thankful to God that we could come home this week and be back. So that's cool. Reading in Micah a bit this week, in Micah 6 verse 8, it says, "Do you know what the Lord has required of you? To love, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God." I've been thinking a lot because we're doing this We Are Christ Day. We love Dunville Day. And just thinking about loving mercy, doing justice, helping the poor and the oppressed, and walking humbly before our God. So I'm just so thankful that we get to do that as part of the church universal. I think that I have a couple. You guys want to come on up? Don't take long. Come on down.
Morning. We're ready for school, okay? But there are a lot of kids in Dunville that may not be. And on We Love Dunville Day, we want to help them be ready. Lorraine's going to demonstrate some of the items that she has in the backpack she has, which is for junior elementary students.
Crayons, little pencil case and markers and pencils in here, and sharpener and glue sticks, things that kids need that maybe they can't afford.
And I was going to show you what's in mine, but I think I'm going to keep your curiosity up and put it out in the hall and let you go look at the changes, because this is an older elementary student bag. So there's a few things in here that are different. But what I wanted to say was this. Our church is aiming for 50 backpacks to give out filled. Right now our biggest need is the backpacks. That's the more expensive of the items we need, obviously. But anything you can do to help, we'd really appreciate. We're going to have a box out there that you can drop your items into. If you want to, if you don't feel that you want to do that kind of shopping, you can make a donation and just mark on your envelope that it's for backpacks, and we'll do the shopping. But also, we just want to make you aware of one thing. One thing I've learned in the last 2 years where I've been working is people that live in this situation, if you offer them something second rate, something that you wouldn't use yourself, they take it as a direct reflection on their personal value. And what we're trying to do this day is show them the love of Christ for them, and He values them very highly. So please do your best.
The reason we mentioned the backpacks is because there's going to be a big trailer coming in with a lot of supplies on it, and apparently there's a lot of school supplies. We don't know what that is at the moment. We won't know that until, I think, around the 10th of August. So for now, we really would just like the backpacks, if you could see in your heart to do that. Also, we're going to be having a bin out here for the food bank. So bring in any non-perishable items that you would normally give to a food bank, and we want to fill that up more than once. You know, sometimes we think, I'd like to do something for somebody, but I don't know what to do. Maybe they don't need it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's a great opportunity that we can all get involved. We can all do our part. We can all do something. And it's exciting because there's so many variations of things you can do, something that you would like to do. So everybody get on board.
Good. So everybody that can swing it, try and over the next couple of weeks go out, pick up a good quality backpack. They're probably run about $15 or $20. Going to be pushing you a little bit this year for donating and giving stuff because we really want to make an impact on our town. If you can't, then don't feel guilty or like you're less of a person because we don't think of it that way. If you actually need help, then let us know and we'll help you too with a backpack or whatever you need for your kids. But just if you could do it, and if you have it, love justice, love mercy, walk humbly before God. We sang that song, "Who I Will Go, You Know, I'll Give My Life." So this is practical ways that we can give our life to something. Again, on the whole subject of We Are Christ Day or We Love Dunville Day, 2 weeks from tomorrow night, we're going to be having a prayer meeting. All the churches are going to gather, the prayer people. That means anybody that's Christian, the Bible says pray always. So we're going to gather here at 7 o'clock at night for a prayer meeting. So 2 weeks from tomorrow night, praying for the event, praying that people's hearts will be open and touched, praying for some of the stuff that we need to come in. So that's really cool. Really excited about that. Next week, Sunday, we have our church picnic here. So you need to bring your own lawn chairs. If you forget, don't panic and stay home. We have some chairs kicking around. We could put you on a seat. So we're going to have a church picnic. We're going to play baseball and soccer. So if you have baseball glove or stuff like that, we have all the bats and bases and everything like that here. Just come, show up. If you don't feel like playing a sport, just bring your lawn chair. Bring a good attitude and a smile so we can all have a good time together. We're just going to enjoy being a church family together and just have a great day. So that's what's coming up next week. Today, we have a special speaker since I'm still on holidays. Today is my last day of my holidays, which has been really good, by the way. Laying around on the sunny shores of Manitouan Island. Kept my shirt on, of course. But anyway, today we have Mrs. Frieda Newhoff coming to preach. I was laughing because I called her house this week and it says Frieda Tembrinke. I said, Mom, you really need to change your answering machine. So anyway, let's all welcome her as she comes.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's exciting to be here in my new role. And I want to thank everybody that made our special day so special. That was really great. It was great to celebrate with all of my family. And I consider all of you my family. I prepared this message about 3 weeks ago, and I've been adding all kinds of little notes here and there, so I hope I can get it all together, but I will. And my title is Steps to Answered Prayer, and I want to pray first. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will bring things to my remembrance. Lord, I thank you that the word will go into our hearts and that we will be successful in our prayer life. Lord, in every area of our life, and we thank you for your presence here today to meet needs, and Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about this whole idea of us being different than the world. We are different. You know, we sang that song this morning, He Wraps Us in His Arms. You know, that gives a picture of great intimacy and love where nothing can hurt you because He's got you wrapped in His arms. God is a good God, and He loves you. And we have a responsibility to demonstrate that God to the world. But sometimes we make a picture of God that's not really who God is. So how can we get away from that? And that is by studying and reading and meditating on the Word of God so that it becomes so much part of us that anything contrary to that Word, we will cast it off. It can't, and in that sense, during prayer time this morning, this song was playing and it just went off in me. He wraps himself in light. And darkness tries to hide. You know, and I thought, we can be like that. We can wrap ourselves in light. What is that light? The light is the Word of God. The presence of the Lord is in His Word. And so we can wrap ourselves in light. And darkness will try to flee from us because there is so much light around us that it doesn't want to stay around. But you know, a lot of times with the words we speak, with the attitude we have, instead of darkness fleeing and getting away from us, we attract that darkness like a magnet. It wants to cling to us. But it says he wraps himself in light and darkness. You know, I want darkness to start hiding the minute I walk into the room. You know, darkness is not, light is more powerful than darkness. And you know, if you take a whole room that's totally dark and you put one little match on, that room is not totally dark anymore.
Right.
There's light there. But you see, you take darkness, you take light and not just a little bit of darkness. You know what? You're not going to see that much. So we have a responsibility to be light here on this earth. You know, we sang this morning, let your kingdom come here on earth. How is that going to happen? By us filling us with the Word of God and believing what the Word of God says. You know, and I'm going to run ahead of myself. As you know, I sat on the front pew of the church and listened to all kinds of preaching, but did not know Jesus personally. But when I discovered who Jesus was, I started saturating myself in that. Now, I don't care if a person comes to me with all kinds of initials behind their name and tells me that God really meant to say this, I will believe what the Word of God says. Because, and that did not happen overnight. That was a choice I made years and years ago that everything contrary to what the Word of God says, I will not receive it. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm successful in every area of my life. But one thing I do not blame God for any of my problems in my life. It's either my own stupidity, my lack of faith, or the enemy trying to destroy me. And when that song went off this morning inside of me, you know what? I don't think I'll ever lose it again. He wraps himself in light. And darkness tries to hide. It wants to flee. So let's rise up, body of Christ. We have the opportunity to rise up, stand firm, and declare the glory of God. As parents and grandparents, you have a tremendous responsibility to demonstrate who God is. Because, you know, as I grew up, I had an image of God that was really not God. He was a big ogre in the sky, ready to zap me every time I made a wrong move. That was my image of God. How did that get there? I had wonderful parents. But my mother had a real sin consciousness, and she was always, God was, whatever happened to her in her life, God did it to her. So what happened is I got the wrong fear of God. That kept me in bondage, that definitely did not make anybody jealous to want to be like me to have the presence of God.
Right.
But when I met Jesus and realized in a split second, my idea of God changed totally. And I realized he was a good God. Now, there was times over the years that knowledge was threatened, that people would try to get that out of me, and situations and circumstances wanted to tell me that was not really what was right. But I made a decision at that point in my life that I was going to believe what God's Word says and not what my situation and my circumstances declared.
Right.
I learned that my Heavenly Father loves me and He loves you. And He wants good things in your life. He wants to wrap you in His arms and protect you and keep you safe,
yes,
from harm. And He has equipped you with everything that you need to live that life.
Yes.
James 1 says this. First, I'm going to start at verse 13. Don't let anyone under pressure to give into evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. The temptation to give into evil comes from us and only us. The temptation to believe the wrong thing is a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. It's called sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. And this is the verse I want to zero in on. So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off the course. Another translation said, don't be misled. Another one says, do not err. That's what the Word of God says. You know, if it says that, it means there is a possibility that we can make a mistake, that we can be misled, that we can err, that we can get our theology wrong. God warns us for that. It says every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. Another translation says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, not even a little bit. God is good. Whatever comes from his hand is meant to bless us, to keep us, to protect us. You know, it's nothing new that in Exodus, there's a story where Moses has gone up to the mountain and the people get tired of waiting for him to come back. And they say to Aaron, well, you know, make us a God. You know, this Moses, he might not come back. And we look at Aaron and we say, how could you possibly make this God of gold? This cow, this calf of gold. Well, that's the God he knew. That's all he knew. He came out of Egypt. That's what he knew. And he created a God that he knew. Are you making a God that you know, that you're lining up with your experiences rather than what the Word of God really tells you about God? Because then you're making a God that doesn't really exist. And your children are watching you, and people around you are watching you. 3 John 1, verse 2 says, beloved, that's us. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There's a condition. Our soul, that's our mind, our intellect, our will needs to prosper. Where? In the Word of God. God wants us to prosper and be in health. But it's even as our soul prospers. So the choice is ours. Are we going to saturate ourselves with the Word of God, or are we going to just believe everything that comes along and kind of line it up? Line the Bible up with our experiences. That's a choice we make. John 10, verse 10. I don't think I ever preach without using that. That the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Those are just a few verses that reveal the goodness of God, and the Bible is loaded with it. Romans 3, verse 4 said, but let God be true and every man a liar. So if my experiences don't line up with the Word of God, then I say, let God be true and my experiences be a lie. Because I would rather think that I'm wrong than that God is wrong. If I can trust to believe what God says in His Word, then how am I going to know what is right and what isn't? It either is the Word of God and there is no lie in Jesus, or it isn't. So you need to believe what the Word of God says. This one is about prayer, and it's not all kinds of prayer. I'm just going to deal with one kind of prayer, and that's the prayer of petition. Because sometimes we get to bawling and squalling and begging and pleading to God for things that He has already been provided and that we can just receive by faith out of the spirit realm. I don't have all my prayers answered. I guess I'm usually still in the area of hit and miss, you know. But I'd like to get more successful in my prayers being answered. And so we're going to look into, sometimes, you know, God answers prayer and we don't even see it. And I've got one little story, and then I'll get into my points. I will make it. There was years ago, we were going to donate five acres of land to the church, to build a church. And we got all gone home, got all the building permits, and we had to get so many building permits, it was just terrible. We even had to get a permit that the fishies in our pond wouldn't get mud in their eyes. I mean, we had every permit you could possibly think of, but one of our neighbors decided to cause trouble, and he went to the OMB, and we went before the OMB, and during that time, this thought kept coming to me. Lazarus has to die first. I rebuked that thought in Jesus' name, but, you know, I'm walking by faith, and, you know, and kept coming. I thought it was the enemy. And then when we got turned down by the OMB, it came back to me. And Lord provided a way where we could build, not be in debt, which we would have been on the other property, and be able to buy this building eventually instead of all that. And you look back and you say, God had a better plan. Yeah. You know, even though it seemed for a few moments that our prayer wasn't being answered, He still answered our prayer and provided a place of worship for us that was better than what we had planned ourselves. So, first of all, we need to decide what we want from God. You know, a lot of times we do all this. Have you ever been around people that just beat around the bush about, you know, they want something from you, but they don't really want to ask you. And they'll ask you all kinds of questions, and you know what they're after. And don't you ever wish, they say, I wish they'd just come out and ask me. You know? Then I could say yes or no, but they kind of go around in circles and, you know, I'm not a very patient person, that sometimes I want to shoot them. Well, you know, we do that with God. We go around in little circles. And, you know, in James 1, 6 to 8 says, but let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For do not let that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, not dependable, unstable in all his ways. Ooh, I don't want to be unstable. This scripture shows the importance of decisiveness. if a man wavers, it means he has not made up his mind. He is not sure. So let's try it and see if it works. Well, you see, that kind of prayer goes out the door. We need to know. We need to be specific with God and tell him what we need. But in order to do that, we need to find the scriptures that we can base our prayer on. And I often use this example. If I'm going to bake some cookies, I'm not going to look up in a car mechanic book to find out my recipe for cookies. That would be silly, wouldn't it? So I go very specifically and look at the scriptures that deal with the thing that I'm asking for God. And if I get that solidly planted in my heart, the promise that the word declares that I can have it, you see, that's important. Read scriptures, that's the second point, that promise the answer you need. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Oh man, your mouth is so important. "But you shall meditate on it by day and by night, so that you may be careful," and in one translation it says, "to observe, to do, according to all that's written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall act wisely or have good success." So what do we do? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Does that mean that we walk around reading the word out loud all the time? No, we find the scriptures that promise us what we are asking for. And every time we get doubts that maybe God doesn't want to hear our prayer, then you start quoting that scripture, and that will give you, or at least say some version of it in a positive way, rather than to speak your doubts and unbelief, which is usually what we do. "Well, why would God want to do that to me? I'm not that good," and blah, 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 blah. You know, your words are extremely important to your answer to prayer. And then we have to observe, to meditate on it. We all know how to worry, so we know how to meditate. It's just worrying in the positive. Instead of worrying what possibly could happen or wouldn't happen, we can worry and meditate on what God could actually do for us. And it says he can do way above, more than we can even imagine or think. Now, the best thing you can think of, God can do even better than that. It's way beyond your imagination. So you're not stretching the truth when you meditate on the good things of God. And then you may observe to do what the Word of God says. You know, we need to do the Word of God. We need to, you know what, if I just hear something, I don't learn very good. You know, somebody will teach me a job and I look at it, it sounds really simple. Well, I watch it, but then when I go and do it myself, I can't do it. We need to observe to do according to what God's Word says. You know, eventually that becomes second nature to you. You know, it's like when you're first learning to drive a car, you have to think of everything you have to do, and it seems like you've got so many things to think about. But you see, once you drive, you don't even think about it. You just do it, right? Well, the Word of God ought to be that in our hearts and in our lives. We just do it. It's a natural thing to us. In the Message Bible, it says it this way, "And don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you get where you're going, and then you'll succeed. In order to be successful in our prayer life, God's word must be foremost. As we feed upon his word, we build this into our inner consciousness. Then in time of need, we are prepared and can use the appropriate scripture against the devil when he tries to make us doubt God and rob us of what we want. When we observe and obey that scripture, we will ask things that are in line with the word of God. You know? We need, it says the Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. Well, we have to put it in then. Right? I mean, I used to get all uptight that I had to memorize. Memorize is good. Get to be my age? Like Nick says, well, anyway, I better not say what Nick says. But anyway, we tend to have a hard time memorizing long pieces in a row. But you see, if we put it inside of us, and if we ponder and meditate on it, when we need it, the Holy Spirit goes down there and digs it up, and we are able to use it to defeat the enemy. When, you know, the devil comes, Jesus said, it is written, right? We know that. That's how he defeated the enemy. It is written. The devil comes this way. Has God really said? And he still uses that same tool today. Yeah. Has God really said? And he'll take little, he'll use very spiritual. You know what? If you came to me and said, Frida, you're dying. You've got this sickness, you're dying, you know, it wouldn't mean anything to me. But if a doctor, medical doctor, comes up to me and said, you know what? You better get your life in order because you know what? This is exit for you. When that doctor says something, it carries authority with it. And what happens is then we listen to it. Well, you see, when we study the Word of God and a theologian with a whole bunch of initials behind his name comes and says, no, that's not really what the Word of God says. This is what it says. It carries a certain amount of authority with it. We need to be careful that we listen to the Word of God. You know, and don't say, well, you know, I'm not an educated person. You know, Jesus chose fishermen. People that were working with their hands, what? To evangelize the known world that day. Right. He didn't take the bright people. He took people that worked. So all of you can be bright with the Word of God. You know? And the Word of God is your final authority. That's what we need to believe. Jesus defeated the devil every time with it is written. And Jesus did not use one weapon that we do not have at our disposal. We can say every time the enemy comes in, it is written, and defeat. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 6 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down imaginations, that's the strongholds. We get our imagination. We feel an ache in our body and our imagination starts going like crazy. We hear news and our imagination goes to work and what that news means to us. It says we are to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's hard work. That's not for the feeble-minded. That's not for weaklings. we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what? That's why we have on the armor of God. We've got the weapons. We've got the tools. We've got the helmet of salvation that protects our mind from thoughts. We have all the tools that we need to defeat the enemy when he comes to us. If the scriptures are firmly implanted in our hearts, we prepared for the attacks of the devil. When praying for things that are expressly promised in the Word, we can have complete confidence that God will give us what we need. And John 15, verse 15 says, "And this is the confidence, that we have towards Him." That there, and there's the condition, that if we ask anything according to His will, we need to ask according to His will. I'm sorry, that's going to take a little work and a little effort, because His word is His will. We cannot ask beyond God's will, you know. But it says if we ask according to His will. You know, and people said, yeah, but how do we know this is God's will for us? You know what? If we cannot know God's will from the Word of God, then why on earth do we have the will of God? Why do we have the Word of God if we can't trust it? God is very explicit in some areas what His will is towards us. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, listen to this, He hears us. We have that confidence that if we ask according to His will, He hears us. Even if we whisper it, He hears us. Even when He seems to be busy with something else, when we ask according to His will, He hears us. But now listen, this is exciting. And if we know that He hears us. Now there's the clincher. We know that He hears us. It has nothing to do with God. If we know, if I know, if I ask according to His will, that He hears me, and if I know that He hears me, I need to know that. That's where faith comes in. I need to know in my knower, which is my spirit, needs to rise up big. You know, some of our spirits have malnutrition. You know, they don't really know. We've let it starve to death. But we need to know that He hears us. And then it says, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Isn't that exciting? That if we know He hears us. He says He hears us if we ask according to His will. But if we know that, then we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Do you believe? Many people try to pray beyond their faith. You know, if you cannot take big things, start with little things. Start practicing. You know, instead of grabbing for a painkiller, the least little ache and pain you've got, start believing God for a relief. Instead of running to the bank and getting all your credit cards amalgamated again and making life easier, why don't you try and believe God for His financial blessing on your life? You know, start believing. Grow your faith. It doesn't happen overnight. It becomes stronger and stronger and stronger as you exercise it. Do you believe? You know, it's the word of God that gives us faith. It says in Romans 10, verse 17, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yep. You know, you can't pray for faith. Faith does not come by praying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And you know what hears better than anything else? Is when you speak it with your own mouth. You know what you say with your own mouth is more believable to you than when anybody else speaks it? That's why it's so dangerous when you're a habitual liar. That's a free one. When you're a habitual liar, after a while, you actually believe your own lies. And you can't differentiate between the truth and a lie anymore. So be careful. Truth is the word of God. Ask God for the things you want. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For each one of you who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. And then Matthew 6, verse 8 said, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So it seems like it contradicts. But it doesn't. God knows what you stand in need of. Right. But he wants us to ask. Yeah. You know? And so that's important. Number four is, the number three was ask God for the things you want, if I didn't make that clear. Four is believe that you receive. Matthew 11:23-24. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he said shall occur, he shall ever have whatever he said. And then it says, therefore I say to you all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You receive before you see it in the natural realm. Yeah. There's times that I've prayed for things and it took a year for me to get it from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. But you know, if you keep believing God and thanking him, I'm running ahead of myself, but anyway, believe that you received and you will have it. There are two kinds of truth. One is sense knowledge truth, and most of us work with that. You get prayer for anything, and you look at the natural, and you say, well, you know what? Nothing happened, so it's still the same. That's sense knowledge. The other kind of knowledge is revelation truth. And you know what? I'm very happy to have sense knowledge. I know, I'm glad that I've got my mind, that I can think things through and I can act like I've got a little bit up here, you know. I'm glad I don't kind of swooze around being so spiritual, I'm no earthly good. God gave us a mind. He did not take our mind away when we got saved. He wants us to use that mind. He wants us to develop that mind. But when that mind tells you something that contradicts the Word of God, we need to go with what the Word of God says. Because God's Word is the revelation truth. Everything that we need is already provided in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So everything has already been provided for us. Hebrews 11, verse 1, and I know I can quote it, but I want to read it out of here. Says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and a conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So we receive it by faith. We cannot see it. But if it's, and I used this example, and I probably have used it. My dad was a man that most of the time was true to his word. What he said, and if my dad would have said to me, you know, on Saturday we go shopping and we're going to buy you a new dress, it was in the bag. I could go tell everybody, you know what, I got a new dress. My dad's taking me. That dress was as good as mine. Why was that? Because his promise was true. But you see, if my earthly father was like that, then how much more my heavenly father? So God's word is true. Then it says we are, number five, refuse to doubt. Let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you ask. Never permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. You can't help it flying over your mind. Just because you get a thought that's negative doesn't mean that you're out of faith. But you don't have to meditate on it. You don't have to start speaking it out. Instead, you speak what the Word of God has promised. So you refuse to doubt. You absolutely hang on to God's promise for you. True humility is submitting yourself to God. It isn't crawling around in the dirt and saying, woe is me, I'm a dirty old sinner, I'm a wreck, I'm a worm, and if anybody else calls you a worm, you're highly offended, but you know you do it to God all the time. That's not humility. Humility is trusting God. You know, a lot of you are fathers and mothers. Isn't it great if your kids trust you explicitly that what you say you are going to do, doesn't that make you feel good? Well, you see, God wants us to trust Him, that He's the one that takes care of every one of our needs. Meditate on the promises. Number six. My son, Proverbs 4:20-22, listen to my words. Bow down your ear to my sayings. Or listen closely. You know, some of you older people that are getting a little hard of hearing, when you hear something, you don't hear it quite right, you kind of bow your ear and you listen just a little bit harder. Well, God wants us to listen to His word like that. Yeah. Meditate on it. Listen to the promises of God. Bow down your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. How do you depart? If you start seeing yourself failing instead of succeeding, you've let the Word of God depart from your eyes. You need to keep it in front of your eyes. Repent, go back to the promise of God. Number seven, my last point. Hallelujah. I'm not tall, but I'm still short. Give God the praise. We need to worship God. And one faith builder is, instead of, I wonder if God's going to do that for me. Oh, you know, I don't know. After all, I saw so-and-so down the street. They're much better than I am, and they didn't get it, so why should God give me anything? Instead of doing that, start thanking the Lord. If we really, truly believe we have received it, start giving God praise for the answer. You know, we don't have to ask the same thing over and over again. If you're not, like if you haven't received it yet, in the natural realm, you've received it in the spiritual realm, just start thanking the Lord for His promise to be true in your life. Philippians 4:6, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then listen to the words that come out of your mouth. I have people say that, oh, you know what, I'm walking by faith, and then they give me this whole negative song and dance. You're not walking by faith. You're walking in the natural realm. Watch what your word says. Don't get in bondage, but you know what? I used to be, believe it or not, an extremely negative person. I always saw the gloomy side of things. I really did. I could see mountains coming miles away. I mean, I could meditate on it. I could speak it. I used to be a negative person. I really don't think too many people would call me negative anymore. And the difference that that has made is knowing who God is, knowing the promises that he's given me, and walking in that promises. So you can train yourself to become positive, to become positive in the Word of God, to believe and trust God above everything else. It says, I've got to make one more point. You can say that you have faith as easily as you can think thoughts of doubt and unbelief. It is thinking faith thoughts, and faith thoughts is getting the victory, and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat to victory. Do not accept defeat. Do not be denied. It is your family right, your redemption right, to have what God has promised you. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Hallelujah. He is my rewarder. Do I walk in all that God has for me? No, I don't. But I'm striving to get there. And I will probably be striving to get there until the day I died, and then probably sit up in my coffin and say something, but don't believe this! I'm alive! Anyway, this morning I would like to give an altar call. If you are struggling in any area, I would like to pray for you. Probably like Bob and Lorraine and Ralph to come to. I've got the anointing oil here. It says if anybody needs prayer, we can anoint them with oil. Is there anything special about this oil? No, it's olive oil. It's in a nice container. But we are obeying what God's word says. That's why we have the prayer room every Sunday. Because the Bible says we need to ask for the elders of the church to get prayer. That's why that prayer room is open. So if you have needs, you go to the prayer room every Sunday. But this morning, we are going to do it right here. If anybody needs prayer in any area of their life, we would like to anoint you and pray over you and believe God for a miracle. You know, there's a miracle, there's a healing, and there's a believing and receiving. Hey, great to get a miracle. But you know, sometimes it's even better when you can receive it and walk it out by faith. Because you know what? When that happens, it will not get stolen from you. You will be able to receive it. So the musicians, I guess, are hiding there somewhere. And if you would stand up, and if anybody needs prayer at all, the altar is open, and Bob and Lorraine and Ralph, I'd like you to come and help. Shandara Masi, Dada Masi.